This program is brought to you by PersonalLifeMedia.com.
Welcome to Dishy Mix. I'm your host, Susan Bratton. And on today's show, which is my 100th episode, you are going to get to meet Lee Oden. Lee is the CEO of Top Rank Online Marketing. Lee and I developed a long-distance relationship over Twitter and email for many, many years. And I got to meet him most recently at South by Southwest. I got to interview him as part of my Powered Community series. It's on Dishy Mix blog, so you can get more Lee. And I'll tell you that you're going to want more Lee after you hear this interview. I'm so excited for this to be my 100th episode, and I actually worked it so it could be with Lee. We got the schedules all lined up. It's my 100th episode of being on the Personal Life Media Network. I've done a lot of episodes before that in my long history of doing Webmaster Radio and Ad Tech Connect, but it feels really good to have 100 episodes in the can on Personal Life Media. It feels like a great thing, and I'm so glad that Lee is here to share this fun milestone with us. I want to bring him on and tell you just a little bit about Lee before we get him on the show and we get started. He's the CEO of Top Rank Online Marketing, and they're a digital marketing and PR firm, which is what I like. They actually combine, they call it a holistic mix, I love that, of online marketing expertise that includes search engine and social media marketing, business blog consulting, and online PR. So when you get a stew of PR, blogging, SEO, all that good stuff all mixed together, that's my sweet spot. And Lee is definitely in it. So let's get him on the show. Welcome, Lee.
Well, thanks, Susan. Congratulations. 100 shows. That's amazing.
It's fun. It's pure pleasure.
What we need to do is pop a little virtual champagne.
Oh, I like that. Oh, you've got some audio effects. Sweet.
There we go. Hey, multitasking, multi-talented.
That's fantastic. So Lee and I have cooked up a great show for you. We're going to talk about radiating news. We're going to talk about SEO PR, social media PR, direct-to-consumer PR, push and pull PR, digital asset optimization, and alternative syndication. And it's all going to get wrapped up in the fabulous stew of our conversation. Are you ready, Lee?
I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. So let's talk first about your idea of push and pull, because that's really the kind of consumers are as important as the business press these days. So tell us the story of push and pull, which, by the way, is all documented on the Top Rank Online blog, which is a fantastic resource. So tell us the story, Lee.
Well, thanks. Yeah, we do have an abundance of content there on all the things that we're going to talk about today. So the sort of push and pull model that we've been using for the last couple of years is a way to help people in the PR industry and in the search marketing industry how they can converge. With push PR, you know, we're talking about a lot of traditional public relations tactics where you're pushing out messages via wire service distribution of press releases, just by email to your own personal lists, or even pitching efforts that might happen by phone, real-world networking, maybe even RSS distribution. So it's a bit interruptive maybe, but the direction is outgoing in a push fashion. Whereas with pull, what we're doing there is we're optimizing content. And we're optimizing content that's news-focused, that's consumer-focused. People in the public relations and media relations business are responsible for generating or managing certain kinds of content. And that content can be very useful for journalists, analysts, or reporters doing research to source stories, subject matter experts, that sort of thing. And we've done some research, as have others, into the search habits of folks that work in the media and found a very substantial number, you know, use search to do their job. They use search to find past press releases, media coverage, research topics, and find individuals. So the pull, has to do with optimizing text and other digital assets to basically make it easy for a company that has a unique story, that has a good story to tell, to be easy to find where people in the media are looking.
All right. So tell us about Pull PR. What are the things that we need to do to create this?
Well, it depends on whose shoes you're in. I mean, if you're in SEO shoes or if you're in a public relations person's shoes, and I think, I'll focus on the PR person. We want to take inventory of what it is they have to work with in terms of content and digital assets.
This is your DAO, your digital assets optimization. Good. Weave that in.
The notion there is that if something can be searched on, then it can be optimized. And there's 70 different types of search engines. There are niche, vertical, media-specific types of search. There's standard search, of course, like Google.com or Yahoo, which bring in not only web pages into the results, but they may be, depending on the popularity of the search phrase, they might bring in videos or images or blog posts or news items within the standard search results. So, there's a lot of credibility that comes from being visible in those places. So the first step is to find out, well, what do you have to work with? I mean, most people in the PR biz do have press releases to work with, but blogs are another asset, a corporate blog, or maybe an online newsroom, and the different types of content that's stored there. White papers, case studies, archive webinars, even archive newsletters, anything that can lend credibility and provide factual information to help a journalist write that story. Even aggregated content and resources can be helpful.
Photos. I think we really underestimate the value of posting images on Flickr around our businesses.
Absolutely. Optimizing for other media is very, very important. A lot of anyone who's been in a media relations situation on the interviewee end has been asked for high-res photos, either of products, glamour shots of products, or even of people. And a lot of times, journalists will do research, and maybe they've done an interview with a person, and now they're looking for an image, or maybe they're just using image search to find a unique angle. Well, it's important not only that you rank highly on the keywords of relevance within standard search or blog search or other text-based search, but it makes sense to have your images rank well on not only on Flickr, but also on Google Image Search or other types of media search. Same thing with video or even audio.
Yeah, I'm actually going to do a show coming up with Mark Robertson. He runs a web blog called Real SEO, and he is becoming an expert in the whole SEO meets video world. And so I'm taking readers' questions, and we're going to kind of dissect the exact steps to fully optimizing your video for search.
Yeah, reelseo.com, I believe it is. It's an excellent resource on video optimization.
So you've got all these contents. You take an inventory of your digital assets and you optimize them by tagging them and putting them up online and putting them maybe in a social media press release, whatever it is. You try to get as much content as you can and tag it right so that it has search. What do you do with it? Do you just put it in your newsroom? Are you trying to blast it out all over the web? How much time should you put into it? What really pays off? Where's the sweet spot?
Well, like any other type of content marketing effort, you want to have a particular strategy, and that's your game plan. Who is it that you're trying to reach? If you're, there's the distinction between maybe, B2C and B2B audiences, a distinction between direct-to-consumer and people in the media, or maybe even bloggers. So some decisions about the audience and the game plan for reaching that audience, the strategy, is pretty important. In terms of managing things, and where to spend your time, you've obviously got to put some content in play. And it's important that in taking inventory of different things you have to work with, also to have processes in place. I mean, most companies have processes for press release distribution or adding content to the website, that sort of thing. In order to get the maximum value out of leveraging SEO for content creation, you've got to make it part of the processes. So what we do with companies is, those organizations that are publishing content, I mean, not everyone does, but some companies do publish content on a regular basis. We help identify in those processes where they need to leverage keyword glossaries, for example, researched lists of keyword phrases relevant to their product mix, service mix, and target audience.
Okay, wait, right there. Keyword glossary. What's that?
So a keyword glossary is really one of the first steps in an SEO campaign. And actually, I've been writing a series of posts on online PR that people can find at toprankblog.com that talks about this. But identifying the keywords is really a critical step. A lot of folks will start with keywords that they think of that are common in their industry, that are used in their marketing materials or PR materials, part of their messaging, and they'll optimize for those things. Well, there may be a significant disconnect between what the company thinks is accurate or relevant for keywords and what their end audience or target audience actually uses when they sit down on Google and type a phrase into that box. So creating a keyword glossary is a process of first brainstorming different phrases that are relevant and accurate, and then popping them into some keyword research tools. And those keyword research tools will come back with lists of what people are actually searching on, how popular they are, and depending on the tool you use, you can also get information about how competitive the phrase is. You can also get an idea of a forecast of how popular it will be in the future. And there's some other things you can do to identify it. You know, we give our keyword glossaries a list of metrics per phrase: popularity, competitiveness, and relevance. And understanding what phrases are most popular, least competitive, and most relevant helps us make the best choices in what phrases we actually use to optimize content. And the keyword glossary is basically a list that any content creator can reference in making decisions about how to title things, what words to use within body copy, knowing that if they do that, they'll increase the chances of attracting visitors, attracting traffic via search.
Okay, so you have your keywords and you have your assets and you've tagged your assets. What do you do next? If you have a press announcement of some kind, you've got to, let's just make it a really simple one.
Sure.
Here's a new product. Do a new product press announcement. And I have a keyword glossary that I've at least taken a first stab at. What do I do next?
So you have a press release and you use a keyword glossary. Basically, the essence of the press release is related to a topic. So you want to focus on researching one or two, maybe, or targeting one or two keyword phrases for that document, 500-600 words. And you would optimize for that and hopefully have other assets you can include, like an image or video or a short audio interview with someone relevant to that product, and include that. And I'm not talking necessarily about a social media press release exactly, but in the testing we've done with different wire services, we found that when you include more media, you increase your distribution opportunity. In fact, we Top Rank, my agency, is doing SEO for PR Web, which is a wire service. So we're actually working with PR Web to help people who use PR Web as a wire service get more SEO value out of those press releases that they distribute. So it's kind of important to use what you have available to you in making that press release something that people will want to pass around. And if it's just all text, it can be quite boring. If it includes other media, then it may stimulate people who would respond more to an image or interactive or something, you know, a little more visually engaging. And by having different media, it gives you other distribution channels. So we have this press release. We've optimized it for keywords. We've included, let's say, just an image and a downloadable white paper or something like that. And we're going to post it to our newsroom first.
But wait, how did you optimize it for keywords?
Well, we use keywords in the title and think high and to the left. You want to use your most important keyword phrases early in the headline of the press release. You want to use it somewhere in the subheading of the press release. You might use it 2, 3, or 4 times as an exact match phrase within the body of the press release of a 500 or 600 word document. You'll also want, if the intention of the press release, if the goal of the press release, let's say, in this product announcement is to not only announce the product, but hopefully increase the rankings of the product's own web page, then we'd want to use keywords as anchor text, that blue underline, or in your case, green underline text that people can click on, and it delivers them to another web page. Well, the text we use there, it's called anchor text, and we'd want to make sure that we have anchor text using keywords within the press release pointing to the actual product page on the company website. And those are some fundamental things you can do as far as press release optimization. The post we just put up today at toprankblog.com, you can just type in press release optimization on Google, and we have 3 or 4 of the top 10 listings. So there's lots of advice about it. So optimizing the press release that you send out through the wire service has a little bit less flexibility because you're dealing with someone else's content management system, but you do what you can. Compared to the press release you put up on your newsroom. The press release you put up on your newsroom may also use a content management system, but it's yours. I mean, typically you own it or your company owns it. So you may have a little more flexibility in doing things like making sure that the title tag is very keyword rich. And the title tag, of course, is that text that appears in the very, very top of your browser. And it's also used whenever you bookmark something to describe what you've bookmarked. So if, let's say, you want to be clever or ironic or use a pun and or a metaphor in your press release title, well, you can be keyword rich and literal in your title tag as you post this release to your own newsroom, and then have a, you know, your clever or ironic non-literal title actually as the on-page title, which is a different thing.
Can you give us an example of that?
So an example of where, you know, someone might use a title that's a pun or basically just not literal that's meaningful to people would be this one I'm looking at. It's Bald Eagle Erectors Always Faithful. Well, if you don't know what that means, it's a little confusing. I mean, it can be misinterpreted, right? Where Bald Eagle is the name of a company, a construction company, and Erectors is describing what they do, and Always Faithful is also describing something meaningful within the story itself. A search engine will look at that, and I mean, basically we're optimizing for the phrase Bald Eagle. So we would use our non-literal title as the on-page title you see on the press release web page, the large font at the top of the press release. But in the actual title tag, we'd want to use words that are more literal, like New York Construction Company Bald Eagle, comma, develops new property in Schenectady, New York, or something like that.
Got it.
Be a little more literal, and that's what you would actually use in the title tag. So the title tag is the most important place for you to have your keywords in any kind of a document.
Okay. So when you put it out over PR Web, you upload as many assets as you can. You try to make it think high and to the left with your keyword or key phrase density of the actual copy. Then you put your press release on your newsroom with a title tag that's keyword rich, as well as all your assets. But say you are really trying to get people to go to a certain page on your website with the product, or you're trying to get them to buy something or take an action or whatever right. It might be. This press release is just the thing that announces it. There's actually someplace else you want to go. We're going to go to a break. And when we come back, I want you to explain how that works all together. Does that sound good?
Sounds great.
Excellent. You get 2 minutes to, you get 1 minute to take a rest, and I've got more questions for you, Lee Oden. So we're with Lee Oden, Top Rank Online Marketing, Top Rank Blog, and I'm your host, Susan Bratton. Take a listen to my sponsors. They've got good stuff. I hand select these people for you. These are the people you should be supporting so we can have this much fun. So stay tuned and we'll be right back.
Hi. This is Renee Stevens, host of Inside Out Weight Loss. If you want to be a thin person, you have to learn how to think like one. Learn how on my weekly show that aligns mind, body, and spirit for lasting change. Find me on iTunes or at personallifemedia.com. That's Inside Out Weight Loss, how to think like a thin person on personallifemedia.com.
We're back with Lee Oden, and we're learning about the intricacies of SEO, PR, social media, and how we can get some traffic, which is the bottom line. We're trying to probably, for the most part, drive some sales. So Lee, I've got this release over the wire. I've got my press room, but I really want you to go to my sales page of some kind. How does it all work?
You know, Susan, I'm still excited that this is the 100th episode.
Oh my god!
I'm excited. Let's make some money, okay? So the way it all fits together, I guess, is you've got your press release optimized. If you want to drive traffic to a particular landing page, if it's that kind of release, then We want to make sure that we have URLs within the press release. We want to include links within the press release itself. And with your own newsroom, you might have a little more flexibility to put in a graphic that's very explicit in its call to action, for example. But within the press release that you might send out through the Newswire service, you may be limited to either an anchor text link, as we've discussed, where it says, you know, let's say the product is Red Widgets, hypothetically, then the words Red Widget are what's going to be underlined by the anchor text or by the HTML to prompt someone to click on it. And then that would deliver the person to a landing page that's all about Red Widgets or a product page that's all about Red Widgets. Now, for tracking purposes, it's important, it's essential to include a tracking code or a unique URL in that link from the underlying text Red Widget over to your landing page. That will allow your web analytics to actually determine whether you've had conversions as a direct result of the press release or not.
Got it. That makes sense. Now, take that to the next level and tell me about other ways. I got to give a shout out here. Greg Jarbo, SEO PR, you and he and I were having a conversation about both the importance of creating great headlines and the value of syndication and other wire services. So let's just say we use PR Web as our main, you know, our main wire service. That's what I use. That's what you use, obviously. There are other options, not as good. And how do we then use other things? Like, I used one, I think it was called Media eWire or something like that. It was quote unquote free press release service, although it cost me $40 to join. I love that, by the way. I don't, you know what, if you're going to get me that way, I'll pay you. What are all these other wire services and syndication things that we can do? Because ultimately what you're saying is, let's get all those inbound links out on the web in as many places as possible back to that landing page that drives the revenue.
The most important thing you can do to attract links is to optimize for people. A compelling, provocative press release will get picked up by people and linked to by bloggers or even by people who are simply copying RSS feeds according to certain industry categories. So there's a certain amount of syndication that's going to happen because of the feeds that are published via the wire services or even from your own newsroom. And you'll want to then include the anchor text we talked about, link, but we'll also want to include at least one full URL link in that press release. Most of the time, I recommend putting those in the footer or the boilerplate at the bottom, where it's http://www.yourcompany.com, whatever, product page. Because some of the content management systems that will syndicate or copy your press release as content for themselves will not maintain or retain the anchor text links that you put in there in the first place. But the full URL will be imported as text, but many of the content management systems will actually then convert that to a hyperlink. And that can count as a link to whatever it is that you're pointing to.
But it will be included in the boilerplate? Does it have to be down
right,
that so, low?
Right.
Is that
so,
how it so escapes
about
something?
Our company. Our company does this, and we do that, and yada, 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 and then you include a link at the within that or at the bottom of that in the way that you would link to a, you know, for more resources on this release, you know, click on a company page, click on the actual product page, and it would be a full URL.
Right. I understand spelling out the URL instead of incorporating it as a hyperlink, which is what anchor text is essentially a hyperlink in a press release. It just has a different name, which is stupid. I don't like that, but I can't change that. But what you're saying is put the full typed out URL in your boilerplate to that page that you want people to go?
Yes.
And that won't necessarily get scraped by the content management systems and the RSS feeders.
So what will happen is, let's say in my press release, I'm promoting a Red Widget, and I have the words Red Widget linked to my Red Widget landing page. And via RSS, let's say some blog somewhere copies my press release. The chances are pretty good that when they copy that press release, what I had linked as the words Red Widget will not be retained. It will be turned into just regular text. And now, even though another website has copied my press release, I've lost a link. I've lost that as a link opportunity. Unless you include a full URL to that Red Widget webpage. Now, this doesn't happen all the time. But let's say we're going to get picked up by 1,000 websites, you know, a certain percentage of them are going to strip out all the links because that's what their software does. They want to hoard the link popularity to themselves and not link out. But you can, I hate to say this, trick them by linking back to you if you include a full URL.
Got it.
There's also evidence that some people respond more favorably to seeing a full URL because they realize it's a link that they can click on, and this is from a direct consumer standpoint, and that they might miss or not be motivated to click on hyperlinks.
Going back to this additional syndication, what do you think about free press release services? Should you put it over PRWeb and try to put it on some free press release services? What other ways can you syndicate things? Because I'll tell you that I'm doing a lot of press releases and they're not getting picked up by 1,000 places.
Oh, well, it depends on, you know, the content of the release itself and who you're targeting. If you're going to use other distribution channels, especially free wire services, I would do some testing. I wouldn't submit the exact same title in those press releases, though. I would create some variations, and then I would track those variations and set up Google Alerts or some other monitoring service to see which variations of those titles and which services I distributed them through get the most traction.
Okay.
And continue to test and refine that way.
Are there any other alternative syndication opportunities besides the free press release services?
Well, sure. I mean, if you're archiving, if you're putting press releases, for example, up to a blog, then there's an RSS feed for that blog or that newsroom, if you're using blog software to manage the newsroom. So that RSS feed can be submitted to RSS directories and search engines and that sort of thing. It can be registered with Technorati, and you can create some additional distribution opportunities that way. The other thing is if you have other assets, then if you're including an image, for example, then go ahead and put it up on different image sharing services. And in the comments or the description of the image as it's hosted with Flickr, let's say, or some of the other image hosting services, then make sure you link back to your press release or to your landing page from that description. Now, services like Flickr specifically have a nofollow attribute on the link, so it's not going to pass any search engine link popularity. But it could be found via search, via image search. And, of course, it can, you know, people that see it could click on it and be delivered to your landing page. But there are other image hosting services that don't have this nofollow instruction on the link and do allow search engines to count it for SEO benefit, let's say.
What are those? What are those other services?
I would direct you to toprankblog.com and look for image optimization. And we've got an aggregated list of image hosting services that do offer follow links.
Ooh, that sounds like a really good tip. Last question about all of this, and then I have a few more Lee kinds of questions. you're worried already, aren't you? You're like, that was very...
I hear that wah-ha in the background.
It's my 100th episode. We're going to bust it wide open. oh, God, what was my question? Oh, yeah, I know what it was. So this is perfect timing for me, and I've been entirely selfish on behalf of my Dishy Mix listeners, but I'm working on the press launch for my Talk Show Tips product, which is my new system for teaching people how to do great interviews, how to book great guests, how to conduct an interview, and then how to use social media to radiate their content so they can grow their audience. And I think what I'm going to do is do a couple of different versions of the release. And I love your idea of putting them over different wire services or syndication services and then tracking back and seeing which headlines get the best responses or which releases get the best responses. Because when you and I and Greg Jarbo were having our little email love fest a couple weeks ago getting ready for this show, it seemed like he was really keyed into the value of a great headline. And you said, write things for people, make it interesting to people. And so a lot of times I think we get caught, you know, we get twisted up in our own underwear around all this SEO optimization, keyword density, blah, blah, blah. When in reality, we forget it's actually people we're trying to appeal to, not just Google's algorithms, right?
Exactly. It's the compelling, truly interesting press release that's going to travel, that's going to get passed around, and that people might be motivated to link to. Something that reads as optimized, there's really no reason to link to something like that.
Makes total sense. So I want to change subjects, and I want to talk about your favorite book, the book you love and that you give to friends. And it's Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. Now, you're an entrepreneur. You are, like Tim and I, a husband and wife team at Top Rank Online Marketing. And obviously, you're building a fantastic business. You're out there in the market. You're working on growing rich with your great thinking. What is it? What's the story of Napoleon Hill? I haven't read it. So tell us why you love that.
Well, it's a book I read a really long time ago. And there are just some principles that kind of stuck with me, within it. It's basically, maybe it's 80 years old, something like that. Basically, it's Napoleon Hill had gone and interviewed a number of people to basically understand success principles. And so this notion of Think and Grow Rich was a result of this sort of aggregation of the types of attitudes, behaviors that successful people illustrated. It's kind of like 7 Habits of Highly Successful People or whatever, but circa 1919 or something like that. But amazingly, they're still true, they still hold true as far as something that is meaningful for people today, And so I guess just the notion of things like having a mastermind group, having a network of people that share your vision, your goal, just the ability that you need to surround yourself with people that will support you in the goals you're trying to reach, right, as opposed to just being random about it. Picking people specifically to be part of that mastermind group is a critical thing, It's a long-term thing, and you give value before you get value. And that alone, when you look at social media and how things work in that realm, it's really a bit telling. This notion of give to get. You give value before you expect any value back. And being useful to people is pretty critical on the social web. There's other concepts like that that have, just been kind of, the value of integrity and professionalism and things, just fundamental things like that have been instrumental, I think, for me in developing business relationships and client relationships and relationships with our team members and that sort of thing.
It's interesting because Lori Thomas from Web Marketing Therapy has been on the show just recently, and we did a whole situation around give to get for marketers, for online marketers. And I just came back from Eben Pagan's Guru Mastermind Management class. And it seems like that is really a core component of his business, is teaching people how to be in a mastermind group. Do you have your own mastermind group now?
There are a couple of people that I do rely on for certain things. In that I would qualify as that, not as much as I would probably like to, but mm-hmm. but yes, it's sort of a reluctant yes, but yes, I do. I mean, there's certainly people that I draw upon and that I give to in that way. Yes,
it's not it's not an established group. It's more like a chosen mentor mentee kind of a relationship.
Yeah, I've really not had, for example, a mentor. There are people I've looked up to, and there's people who've, people who are original thinkers that I really respect and that I've been able to learn a lot from. But as far as having the opportunity to work directly with someone in a mentoring scenario, I personally haven't had that, but I highly recommend it. I like to do that when I can, for other people.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I have a couple of people who I consider to be part of my mastermind group.
Awesome.
And I rely on them. And what I find for me that's really important is that a lot of times they are ahead of me in the work that they're doing, and I'm kind of going behind them and learning that work. But a lot of times it's the people who have a real level of creativity about business. I like the people who blow their minds wide open, where anything is a possibility. The people who take information from everywhere and anywhere at any moment and integrate it into new ways. And I like to surround myself. It's not really surround myself. It's like one or two people here and there that at any given time are providing me with some level of a being. They're a catalyst for me.
Right.
There are two people I'm connected to right now that I call them up. I ask them, I email them. What do you think about this? Can you help me with this? And I'll tell you, they don't say no. And I'm really lucky to have them in my life because they blast me through the door into the next big room. You know, I love that.
That's fantastic that you're in that situation. That really is amazing.
And I don't think I provide that for them, really. But I probably provide that for somebody else in a different way, you know? And there are moments when people really need you and you've just got to be really present for them and help them. And then that moment is over and you're asking for the help the next time. It doesn't have to be reciprocal. And that's why I asked you if you had a specific mastermind group, because I was wondering if you had this kind of, it almost seems like it would be a group that would have natural reciprocity if it was a mastermind group. And I know that when Eben sets them up, he does create groups where, you know, they start a Ning site and they support each other in getting their businesses to the next level.
Yeah, definitely. And it's critical. It's like, you know, you become who you surround yourself with.
Well, that's what he says too. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, fantastic. Well, I am so happy to have surrounded myself with you for the last half hour, especially on the 100th anniversary celebration.
Yay!
It feels great to have 100 shows done. Here's to our next 100. Maybe, Lee, will you come back on the 200th episode?
I'll be there. It's on my calendar.
As a matter of fact, we'll be doing that one in person, don't you think?
That'd be fantastic.
With champagne.
Absolutely.
Done, done, and done. I love it. Lee, thanks for sharing your wisdom about the intersection of SEO, social, PR, la-li-la, all our favorite stuff.
Thank you, Susan. It was a pleasure talking about this with you, and congratulations on an absolutely awesome podcast.
Thank you, Lee. Well, that's right. Oh, my God. Online top-ranked blog says Dishy Mix is the number one social media podcast.
Absolutely. That's right.
That happened over the Christmas holidays. I remember that. That's great. Thanks for doing the runoff, and I felt honored to win that. So, Lee, it's been great to get to know you. I know everybody's going to be rushing to top-ranked blog to suck up all this great information that you are giving so freely. Thank you for doing that and to your amazing expertise. I will let you get back to running your business. I am your host, Susan Bratton. You have gotten to know Lee Oden. I hope you had fun. And thank you so much for being a part of my 100th episode. I really, really love that you listen. Have a great day.
Find more great shows like this on personallifemedia.com.